Greetings, friends. Are you a Christian? Well, how do you know that you're a Christian? Well, the obvious answer is, if Christ is living in you, then that means you're a Christian. But how do we know if Christ is living in us? I mean, what does it look like when Christ lives in us? How does Christ think? How does he feel? Well, let's turn over to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and we'll read verses 17 through 32. This is Ephesians, the 4th chapter, and it's verses 17 through 32. Because Christ is the living word. The Bible is the written word. It's the mind of God. It's the heart of God. It tells us what it looks like to be a Christian. It tells us how Christ thinks, how Christ feels, how Christ acts. So let's read in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verses 17 through 32. These are words that God inspired to be written in the Bible. This is Paul speaking, and he says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should not walk from now on as other nations walk." So there is a distinction between Christians and non-Christians in the way that we walk, in the way that we conduct our lives. And as people see us walking down the street, so to speak, they should be able to see a certain way of life because Christ is living his life all over again in us. He lived a life while he was here on this earth that he's living all over again as he lives in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 19 it says that the nations of this world, they are past feeling. They've given themselves up to lust. They just do whatever they want to do. They don't follow God's law and don't even make an attempt to. They just go after whatever they want. They just lust after things and they work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. Again, there's a difference. In verse 22, you ought to put off the old man, which is according to the way of living that you did before, that is corrupt according to deceitful lust. It's deceitful because we think it's going to fulfill us. We think it's going to bring us happiness, but it doesn't. It just ends up in pain and suffering. This free sex ends up in AIDS, for instance. This drinking all you want ends up in alcoholism and people losing their minds, having cirrhosis of the liver. This smoking cigarettes that looks to be so cool ends up so often in lung cancer. So many things that we lust after that seems to be what we want to do, seems to be fulfilling, it seems to be cool. It's deceitful because it brings nothing but harm. So we need to put off those things that are corrupting. And in verse 23, this is the key. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We should put on the new man who, according to God, was created in righteousness and true holiness. That's how God walked as God was in the flesh in the form of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. So he is living that same way of life in us, a righteous way of life, a holy way of life, keeping all of God's commandments in the letter and spirit of the law. The first four commandments teach us how to love God. The last six of God's Ten Commandments teach us how to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we're going to see some practical applications of this now. In verse 25 it says, "Therefore put away lying." That's having your mind renewed. We don't lie anymore. Now we tell the truth. It says, "Let each man speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another." Verse 26, "Be angry, but do not sin." There are times when we should be angry. We should be angry when we hear about children being abducted and sexually abused. We should be angry when we hear about priests abusing children. But we should not sin, meaning we should not hate that priest. We should not hate the person who takes a child into captivity. We should love them in that we pray for them so that they repent, they can put off this old way, and they can have their minds renewed so that their sins can be blotted out and they can have the gift of righteousness and eventually even the gift of eternal life. That's the type of love that we should have for people. So being angry at the sin but not at the sinner. Whereas before, we just blow people out of the water. says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil, because the devil is always looking for a place just to get his foot in the door to make you angry at somebody. So again, you can just blow them to smithereens, but that's not what God wants. God wants us to love even our enemies in the hopes that eventually they will become our friends. In verse 28 it says, let him who stole steal no more. Put off that old way of stealing. Have your mind renewed. In other words, don't steal anymore, but rather let him labor so that he may have something to give to him who needs something. And it's not good enough just to say, well, I don't steal anymore, and yet still be a bum, just mooching off other people. No, that kind of middle ground is not cool either. Go all the way to the right in righteousness and holiness, actually working so that you can have money to give to other people who legitimately need. Somebody perhaps who's a quadriplegic that can't go out and work, who legitimately needs some money, having enough money to give to those type of people. Verse 29, do not let any filthy words go out of your mouth, no more cursing, but if anything, speak that which is good for building up people, trying to help people to aspire to something great, as opposed to dragging them down in the gutter with these gutter type words. In verse 31 it says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking be put away from you. In verse 32 it says, be kind to one another, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Can you forgive a boss who fired you? Do you really have that type of heart, the heart of God? Didn't Christ, when he was smitten on the face, even when he was hung on the cross, didn't he say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Your boss, if your boss is a carnal-minded person, that's the natural way. You should expect for them to do something cold-hearted because they're carnal-minded. But you should be tender-hearted. You should be forgiving one another. Now let's turn over to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. This is Ephesians, the fifth chapter. In verse 1 it says, be therefore imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love, even as Messiah also loved you. Now, again, the question is, how can we recognize that Messiah is in us? How do people know that we are walking in love? Well, it goes on to say that Messiah loved you and gave himself up for you. So would you give up your life for someone? Well, you probably would if it was your child. If your child was running across the street and you saw a car coming down the street, you would run out into the street to try to pick up your child and make sure that your child got out of danger, even if it meant you pushing your child out of the way and you being run over, because you love your child so much that you would give up your life for your child. Another example, would you actually give up your time for your child? Are you willing to take your child to all of the soccer practices, to all of the swim meets? Are you actually willing to give up your time watching boxing? I love to watch boxing, but yes, I've already done this. I've given my time to my daughter so that she could have a good life because I love her, and I've sacrificed many things for her sake because I love her. I want to spend time with her because I love her. Now in verse 3 it says, when it comes to sexual immorality and all perversions, when it comes to being covetous of another woman, which is called idolatry, don't even let that kind of thing be mentioned among you, but live a holy life. Don't give in to filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not appropriate, but rather give in to the giving of thanks. So in other words, people shouldn't hear you cursing. People shouldn't hear you speaking derogatorily toward people all the time, slandering them, running them down. No, people should hear good things from you. Now, it's not bad to talk the truth about a situation. If a person has done something wrong, like you have witnessed a crime, then yes, you should testify against that person because they need to be perhaps put behind bars. They need to be punished for their wrongdoing so that they can learn that sin doesn't pay. But at the same time, you don't need to be running that person down all of the time. What you need to be doing is praying for that person, praying that that person repents, and giving thanks to God that you are able to help other people to stay on the straight and narrow path because you've been teaching people. Don't steal. Instead, work. Not only should you work, but be generous with the money that you receive from your work and give to other people. Now it says in verse 15, therefore watch carefully how you walk. Don't be as unwise people, but be wise. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Don't be drunken with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. That's what we should be drunken with, so to speak, is with the wine of God's Spirit. You know how wine makes us lose our mind? Well, God's Spirit should make us lose our minds as well. Lose our carnal minds and have God's divine mind, His divine nature, where our carnal minds, which walks after lust and hostility to God, that's what we should lose, and we should be filled with God's mind, where we are walking in righteousness, where we are walking in love, love toward God and love toward our neighbors. We should be, as it says in verse 19, speaking to one another in spiritual songs and singing praises to God in our hearts and singing praises to God aloud, giving thanks always concerning all things in the name of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah and to God our Father. So even if it's something like a sickness, we should be giving thanks to God that we know the truth, that even this will pass away. There is the hope that we will be actually healed in this life because Christ, He gave up His body to be beaten, and by His stripes we are healed. So we can claim that promise. And God sometimes will answer our prayer by healing us miraculously. But at other times, God won't heal us right now. He will heal us in the future. That's a guarantee. But it might not happen until He gives us a new body, a spiritual body, when Christ returns and we are changed in the twinkling of an eye. So we need to give thanks always, even in a situation like that, knowing that God's got our back. He is always looking out for our best interests. And not only is He always looking out for our best interests, but He has the wisdom to know what is our best interest, and He has the power to bring about our best interests. And that's why one of my favorite scriptures is in Romans the 8th chapter, where it says that all things work together for good with those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So in our next program, we're going to continue to see more practical manifestations of Christ living in us. I thank you for joining me on this program, and may God be in you.
If you would like to contact us or order free literature, please visit our website at www.christianambassadors.org. That's www.christianambassadors.org, or call us on 404-412-0032. That's 404-412-0032. Thanks for listening. May God be in you.